It is time for our conversation with the professor, John Clayton. He joins us every day at 4 o'clock here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. By the way, a little programming note coming up at the bottom of the hour. Mark Schlereth will join us on the program. But right now we talk to John. Hello, John.
Hey, how are we doing?
Good. Did you have – I'm going to guess you didn't have any problems with the play that was called that ultimately led to the injury of Patrick Mahomes last night.
No, I mean, it's just one of those plays that's unfortunate, but I don't have a problem with it. It's unfortunate that he got hurt. I mean, he's such a great player. I feel bad about the whole thing because, again, you know, you want this guy to be as good as you possibly can be, and you want him to be healthy. But, no, I don't have a problem with the play call itself. I just – the result is the thing that bothers me the most because now whether it's going to be 3 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, it takes one of the great players in the game out of this game.
Yeah, you know, I feel the same way. It was kind of, it bothered me, John. I don't, you were probably watching it. Oh, I was listening to it on the radio on the way out to Snoqualmie Casino, and yeah, you just go, man, that's just not good for the NFL.
No,
right?
It's terrible.
Yeah, and so, you know, I was asking this question. When's the last time somebody texted in Carson Wentz? Did he get hurt on a quarterback sneak? It's not like it's.
I think
it's
so. Yeah, back when he got the knee injury.
Did he?
I think it was, but because it was like the was it the week after the Seahawks game?
With, after the Seahawks played Philly.
Yeah, because remember, I mean, we watched Sean. I remember watching Deshaun Watson, you know, hurt his knee in that third quarter because I, you know, watching kind of you know kick the knee around and all that stuff, and then he was you know out after that. Back when they played Seattle out here in that wild game where it was over 200 yards for their wide receiver. But, scary.
Yeah, but I just, you know, I was just thinking, I mean, look, that's not known as a highly dangerous play.
No.
Yeah. So, Alvin Kamara ruled out for Sunday. How far away are we from Breeze?
2 weeks.
2 weeks for Breeze?
Theoretically, 2 weeks, because now he's at the stage where he can actually hold the old Duke football and now starting to throw it. So it looks like it's 2 weeks away. But I'll tell you what, I mean, you know, you look at the five guys that they have injured. You know, you got Breeze and Kamara and all that stuff. Now you can see the potential for them to lose a game because, I mean, you know, and there's no knock on Teddy Bridgewater, but when you take too much away from a team, which is now what's happened, I mean, they now are in a position where they may lose their first game because they're at Chicago. You know how good a defense Chicago is, and you're going in with backup running backs.
Hey, John, a lot of talk about Patrick Mahomes last night for good reason, trying to figure out what his injury situation is. But what about the flip side of it with the Broncos? Where do they go from here?
Well, in fact, I know you're going to be talking to Mark Schlereth, and I know Mark tweeted out, Sterling Sharp tweeted out. I mean, you know, and Mark was as bold as you can possibly be. He said it's time for John Elway to go to the bench. And ooh. I disagree with that.
The guy that got him a Super Bowl, you mean that guy?
The guy that got him a Super Bowl, took him to two Super Bowls, yeah.
Yeah, what but, a
I
dummy.
Mean, yeah, I'm not for that, and of course, you know, being so close with Mark, I'm not going to overly criticize him. I'm not going to criticize him whatsoever. I don't agree, but I think that's what the sentiment is. It's more not on Vic Fangio. It's more on John Elway for not getting the right people on the team. I mean, not getting the right quarterback, not getting the right players, all those things. But I think everything's kind of mounting up right now on him.
Yeah. Do you think that I think it's obvious that there's a little more pressure on him to get a good quarterback. I think, you know, people are probably a little, although it has been a while.
Yes.
Since. Yeah. I just still am so impressed by him after Super Bowl 48 within 2 years, building a defense good enough to win a championship for them. But I don't know. I didn't ever think that the clock would tick out on John Elway in Denver. I mean, that guy means so much to that city.
Well, and particularly, too, with the ownership issues that they have going on right now. I mean, he's the stabilizing force. And, you know, it's tough sometimes to rebuild a program. And, you know, it's tough to find quarterbacks. I mean, you watched, you know, how many quarterbacks, I mean, 3-4 quarterbacks Seattle had to go through before they, you know, hit the mother load and get Russell Wilson. And it's not easy. And particularly, you know, the way that John Elway runs his franchise, because, you know, John usually has success. They make the playoffs, and to be able to get a playoff quarterback or a championship quarterback, it's hard to do late in the first round when you're a playoff team. Well, now at 2-5, they're not a playoff team. Maybe they can be in the mix, but and they kind of, you know, moved around and they didn't overinvest in Drew Locke. You know, he's going to be able to come off the injured list in another week or so. But no, it's a tough situation. I feel bad right now for John Elway.
John, how concerned are you that we may be seeing Marquise Blair and Tedrick Thompson out there for the Seahawks?
I think it's a big concern. And the reason is the matchup. You know, again, ultimately, I think you're going to see, you know, at some point, I don't know if it's this year, next year, whatever, Marquise Blair be in there. But, you know, for a game like this where they have a good tight end situation and they get the ball to the tight ends, this makes it tough. That's why I think McDougal is going to be a key because, you know, here it is. You've got the RPOs of Lamar Jackson. You want to probably need more man defense. And now are they going to be able to man up against some of the tight ends that are out there? And that might be tough. So I think it's a concern. But then, hey, yeah, there's concerns all around for all these teams. I mean, Marquise Blair is not going to be able to play. You know, Jimmy Smith, the cornerback. I mean, you look at the secondary. Okay, yeah, it's going to be a transition in the secondary if they have to go with Tedrick Thompson, who's played well, and Blair. That's going to make it a little bit tougher. Lano Hill's going to be out. But look what they're going through in Baltimore right now. Jimmy Smith's doubtful, so he's not going to play. You know, you've got Tony Jefferson, the safety. He went on IR with an ACL tear. You pick up Marcus Peters. I mean, literally, in a matter of a week or so, you're breaking in three quarters of your secondary new. And so that's not necessarily good. So, I mean, as we get deeper into the season, every team has the problems of injuries, and you just have to fess up to it.
Yeah. Well, let's ask John the question we answered earlier. The Seahawks win if...
If they get the turnovers. I mean, it's going to come down to a turnover game because, I mean, this game is going to be very much, I think, like we saw in Cincinnati and also the Cleveland game. Because, I mean, say what you want. I mean, Andy Dalton's not the most mobile quarterback, but he won it with an RPO type of offense. And an RPO type of an offense, it was tough whether you were in a three linebacker set or a nickel to be able to go because, again, you know, the quarterback can escape and do so many things. But what the key is going to be is like they, you know, the turnovers that were done for Baker Mayfield, the turnovers that were done for Andy Dalton, they've got to do the same thing with Lamar Jackson. Because I love the quote that Tedrick Thompson, you know, gave me, and this is from Ken Norton Jr. You know, because basically what they talk about, I said, why do you guys, you're giving up more yards this year, but you're getting everything done at the right time? And it's like, we feel comfortable when there's discomfort. And I thought that was a great quote to when it's discomfortable, and it's comfortable when it's discomfortable, and that's where you know they were able to make the big plays when necessary.
Hey, John, I don't know about you, I would rather not see Dwayne Brown out there. I'm worried that you know that's going to turn into like a long range deal, and you know George Fant did a pretty good job. But from what you're hearing from Pete, what do you think are going to see, Dwayne?
I just go back to the original comment that he had early in the week that it was going to be at least a 2-week injury, and this is week two. So I think that he's going to miss this game. I'm still not sold that Fluker is going to be there either. So, you know, they're going to be a little bit scrambling around like that. But I don't think there's any way you see Dwayne Brown.
Yeah, from what you're hearing out in Baltimore and John Harbaugh, what about Marcus Peters? I know I don't think he made practice on Wednesday.
No, he's gonna play. They're gonna try to play him as much as they possibly can.
Okay,
and so he's definitely in. I don't know if he's gonna be in for the entire game, but see see if you agree with this. I'm looking at this game much like the Pittsburgh game. Okay, so now here it is. You're coming in. Now, one thing, Pittsburgh is good stopping the run. Baltimore is better stopping the run. You know, they got Michael Pierce and they got Brandon Williams, and they're really good run stoppers. So they're going to stuff the middle, and if you're going to run, you have to run to the outside. Okay, so now, you know, Pittsburgh came in with all those blitzes, and Baltimore's a blitzing team. They blitz 48% of the time. So what I would envision is that, you know, they're going to try to throw the ball quickly into the middle of the field. In other words, instead of trying to pound it up the middle, you know, they've got, because now you have to run to the edges. You know, I think they're going to have to work more passing early. I'm not saying you go to a big passing offense. I think what you do is you implement the game plan to a certain degree of what you did. Because remember, it's like, okay, you're throwing into a secondary that's, you know, 75% new, and you've got, you know, Marcus Peters going into a more complex defense than he had either in Kansas City or he had in the Rams. Because, you know, one of the things that Wink Martindale does is he really tries to disguise things as best he can. And so with that in mind, and communication, I think, being a big issue, that's where I think you can kind of beat them.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, actually. You know, defensive backs. And then, you know, the other thing we talk about, John, we were sitting here talking about Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. Russell's by far the more dangerous quarterback on the
field.
Oh,
no doubt. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would think that Russell, that there's going to be some opportunities for him.
Hey,
Jim, your thoughts.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts. Which one would you like? Yeah. Professor, which secondary is going to have the better game?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, again, I maybe I'm wrong on this, but I'm now comparing Lamar Jackson to Russell Wilson 2.0. Because, I mean, you think about the dynamics of it. Okay, here's Russell as a rookie. He takes his team into the playoffs and wins a playoff game. Okay, so even though he didn't win a playoff game, Lamar Jackson comes out. He wins 6 out of 7. He takes him into the playoffs when nobody expected it. Now he's up to 65% completions. He's not anywhere close to being as accurate as Russell Wilson, but you can see that he's progressing. And so, you know, he's still not there yet, and they don't have the receiving weapons, particularly with Marquise Brown out, that even Seattle has. And so they'll throw more to the tight end and all that stuff. So it's going to play into the bend but don't break philosophy. But again, you're going to be more challenged right now with Russell Wilson going against a blitzing offense or blitzing defense, particularly as accurate he's been. And he's one of the, in fact, I think this year, according to some of the analytics, he is the best quarterback against blitzes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, John, as a follow-up with the Ravens blitzing as much as they do. Do you continue to do what you do as a defense, or do you note that, hey, wait a minute, this guy burns a lot of other teams, maybe we shouldn't blitz as much?
As far as Seattle?
No, if you're the Ravens.
I think you are what you are, and you know that you have to do as much. But, yeah, I mean, you know, do they have the ability? And that's the thing that's going to be in the back of Martindale's mind is the idea. It's like, okay, you know, we can blitz, but right now the guys in the secondary, they're still trying to learn. I mean, it's a whole new group, particularly with Jimmy Smith out. And so it's like, you know, that could cause some confusion with some of the coverages. I mean, we've seen that here in Seattle the last year and a half. Some of it with the young guys coming in and, you know, confusion here, missed assignment there. And so, and you know that Russell's going to play some games with Earl Thomas, and Earl Thomas is going to play some games with him, and that'll be fascinating to watch. But, no, I think, you know, I think that they're going to blitz. I mean, that's what they are.
Hey, John, I was seeing some comments coming out of Arizona that they've got zero interest in getting rid of Patrick Peterson. There was some thought that perhaps they would trade him by the trade deadline. Did you think they were going to move him, or what were your thoughts on him?
No, I thought that they were not going to move him whatsoever because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's not like Cliff Kingsbury's fighting for his job. The general manager is fighting for his job. And he said it the best. He says, listen, it's like these guys are hard to find. And it's like, you know, it's hard to find a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback, and you're not going to let one go in the prime of his career. And so, and I tend to agree with that. And when you look at Patrick Peterson, he's not just a Pro Bowl cornerback. He's a six-time Pro Bowl cornerback who might be a Hall of Famer. So do you trade him just to get value? I mean, you know, let's put it this way. If you're Steve Keim, you're going to be like Tom Coughlin and trade Jalen Ramsey when you may not be the guy making the pick on those draft choices next year? No. And particularly, you know, things are re-energized right now with Arizona. You know, if they win this game coming up against the New York Giants, which is a winnable game, they're 3-3-1.
Yeah, it's a decent chance there. I was going to ask you this one, John. What's more likely to happen, the Redskins beating the 49ers or the Jets beating the Patriots?
Well, I mean,
Jets 1-4, yeah, they're at home.
Yeah.
Both the crummy teams are at home.
Yeah.
You got 6-0 Patriots at the Jets. Mm-hmm. You got 5-0 Niners at the Redskins.
I mean, you'd have to go with the Redskins, which really has no chance of winning against the 49ers, but the Jets have no chance against the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, Darnold says they can be as explosive as anybody in the league.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah. Brady?
You're not agreeing with him, huh?
John, Brady's starting to slip a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's terrible.
What, at 5-0, I mean, he should give it up.
He's awful. Yeah, but it's only because of the defense.
No, is it because, I mean, what's that, because of the defense? Yeah. I know he's not had two good games in a row, but he's won. It's like, okay, when somebody beats him, then we can talk about it. But nobody's beating him. And these teams in that division aren't beating him. I mean, remember, he's the one who went to Buffalo, didn't have a good game, had a low-scoring game, but they won. I mean, he does enough to win the football games. And, you know, He probably won't have Josh Gordon in the game. You know, Julian Edelman still playing banged up. The offensive line still has two major holes in it, but he'll find a way to win. You know, this is still the Jets. I mean, you look at that injury list for the Jets. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, their offensive line is all banged up. I mean, I just finished putting the injury list into the database, but, you know, they've got like 18 guys out there.
That's a long list,
Jim,
right there.
Don't bet against Tom Brady. Don't bet against Tom Brady.
Well,
you've learned your lesson.
Well,
I like to think.
Depends on how many points the Jets are getting.
How many points are the Jets getting?
I think they're getting, I don't know, 8 or 9 or something. I haven't looked.
I don't know why you're looking at me for that one.
Let me. I like Dave's either or question. I'll give you another one because we're trying as Seahawks fans to get the 5-1 teams to lose.
Yeah.
Green Bay 5-1, New Orleans 5-1. The Saints are at Chicago. Green Bay hosting Oakland, which is most likely to lose?
Well, I mean, Oakland's going to, I think they'll have a tough time, but because Green Bay right now, even though they're not playing great football, they are 5-1. You know, the Bears, I think this is going to be a loss for the Saints. Yeah. I just think when you take away Breeze and Kamara, that's almost too much because, you know, now, you know, you've got the running game affected. You know, they might be able to do some things. And this is the Bears. I mean, say what you want. I know that Mitch Trubisky, you know, is still uncertain if he's going to play. He's questionable with the game time decision. But I still look at the overall picture of a Bears defense that can hold you to 14 points. And somehow, some way, if you can come up with 16 or 17 points, you can win that game.
How's the health in the Eagles Cowboys game? That's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
2-3-3 teams going at it in Dallas.
Yeah, Eagles are pretty banged up. I mean, wide receivers and particularly in the secondary. They're a mess at linebacker right now because particularly I know they cut Zach Brown because he called out Kirk Cousins and that didn't work out. And you know, Zach was a Pro Bowler when he was Washington, but he's not playing like a Pro Bowler now. But they're so thin at linebacker and they've had all kind of problems in the secondary. So I think that they're more vulnerable. I mean, I know that the two tackles right now are questionable, Tyron Smith and Lolo Collins, but I think both really say practice today, so they have a chance to play. But I'd say right now the Eagles are the ones they've called out with Doug Peterson saying he's guaranteeing a victory. I know he came back and kind of toned that down a little bit, but, I mean, hey, you can't take back what he said.
Yeah, well, their defensive end, Lawrence, said, "We ready." So they're ready for the Eagles. But Amari Cooper was a guy who was listed as an injury concern, and apparently he's going to be ready to go. We've talked about, you know, the potential extension for Dak Prescott. What about Amari Cooper?
It's gone slow, much slower than I think anybody anticipated, which I think is a little bit of a surprise. But, Jerry did get the deal done with Ezekiel Elliott. You know, at some point you'd like to see him get some kind of a deal done, but right now, no deal.
How about the Bengals getting their first win at home against the Gardner Minshews, the Fighting Minshews?
I'd lean toward Jacksonville in this game because look at all the turmoil that's going on. They're 0-6. You know, Cordy Glenn, who's had a concussion and missed the first 6 games of the season, goes in and thought his treatment was right because he said, "They're trying to get me back quicker with the concussion." So he got into it with his position coach, and so they suspended him for a game, kept him out of practice. You know, they don't have anything else on the offensive line. Andre Smith's banged up. You know, they've already got 6 guys. Their inactive list is almost ready right now like it was last week because they got 6 guys that are out of the game. So they go in understaffed, undermanned, and winless.
Professor, what about the game Sunday here? 90% chance of rain, CenturyLink Field, Baltimore, Seattle. Seahawks favored by 3. Who do you like?
I like Seattle because, again, it's going to be a very close game. Again, I think it's going to be, you know, similar to what we saw in Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and even Cleveland. I mean, again, a game where, it's going to be up and down and all that stuff, and it's up to Russell Wilson to make sure that, he doesn't make the turnover. But, again, Lamar Jackson is going to be more prone to make the turnover than him. So I certainly would lean toward Seattle winning because they're at home. I mean, you know, the good things on the Ravens is, you know, certainly Lamar Jackson, certainly their run-stopping ability, but no pass rush. They are shaky along the offensive line. They are a little thin with Brown out as far as at the wide receiver position. So I just think in the end, you know, they may be trailing in the fourth quarter, but I think in the fourth quarter they turn around and get the victory.
They got them right where they want them. When they're trailing in the fourth quarter.
Absolutely.
Russell with 30 fourth quarter comeback wins.
Three this year.
All right, Professor, Bob teased this. Is this fanny pack weather coming up here?
No, because it's going to be raining. It's like, so the fanny pack's going to be covered underneath the rain gear. So we got the REI.
But you'll be wearing it.
I got the REI rain gear, so
some good
the
rain
fanny
gear.
Pack's not going to work.
Okay.
Well,
remember, there was only
the
one game that I had a chance with the fanny pack, and that was the Raider game. I didn't bring the fanny pack, and I got soaked because I didn't bring the rain gear. It's rained every game.
Huh. Hmm. All right, John.
Hey, John, if Earl Thomas picks off Russell Wilson, you think he bows in front of the Seahawks sideline like he did in the Dallas game?
Probably, yeah. I would say that. He'll do something. I mean,
That'll be poorly received by the fans.
What if he goes out to the middle of the field and does like a T.O. thing?
Oh, boy.
Like he did in Dallas. Who would be the first guy to run over there and knock him off like George Teague did?
Dave Wyman.
Bobby.
No, you're my extension down on the field, Clayton. I'm going to send you out there.
Remember, I'm neutral. I won't do anything like that.
Maybe you're Bobby.
You can maybe talk Jen Mueller into doing it. But
that's true. You'll be on their sidelines.
John, you doing your show tomorrow?
Yes, from 8 to 9.
All right. Well, enjoy that. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right. Sounds good.
There you go.
Like my question.
There's the professor, the fanny pack weather?
No. Who's going to be the guy that comes over there and knocks him off the star? Text it in to 710-710.
I got Bobby. Who do you have?
I got him, too.
Oh, Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Remember, they had a little heat between them at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We heard from Kadri Ismail yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we should do this in the next segment because I'm taking you off track here.
Well,
we got our
guy coming up here.
Yeah,
Mark Schlereth, who will be on the call. He's going to join us next as we continue live from Seahawks headquarters with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.